Hi, my name is Lynn Nyangwa. So how's your week been? How you doing? Did you survive the weekend? Welcome to another episode of I'm Trying, I Promise. And this week, we're still asking some tough questions.
Life is hard, so why not take a minute, maybe 20, and just talk with me? Let's figure it out together. My name is Lynn Nyangwa, so welcome to another episode of I'm Trying, I Promise. And today we're asking an important question.
Who told you anyone cares? I know, I'm not calling you out. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but honestly, who told you anyone cares? It's all in your head. And this is not me being an a-hole. This is not me trying to make you feel like you're imagining all the madness. You really aren't. But I just want you to know that your life decisions should not be based on what other people think of you, because the truth is, nobody cares. Honestly, that's an ASMR moment for you if you think anybody cares. Nobody cares. So here's the thing. Let's dive straight into the research. We're going to talk about approval addiction. Approval addiction has been a thing human beings have been addicted to and needed for a very long time. But when the need for approval started, it was for a very real need. It was a survival. It was life or death to be approved of. It started off when we were all cavemen and doing the whole hunter-gathering shtick, and we needed to be able to be cared for by our community and accepted by our community and our society in order to be put in a nicer ranking in our society that meant that we had access to clean water, that we had access to food, that we had access to other things that made survival a little easier, okay? It meant that if you were not the strongest hunter-gatherer, you were in good standing with those people so that when they went hunting and gathering, you were not eating the butt of the animal every time. You got some good cuts. That you were not being left out of the cave when everybody was cavemanning in there and you were left to the wilderness. It meant life or death for other people to approve of you. But now everything's changed. Technology happened, life happened, we moved on. We are no longer hunting and gathering, except for those people who pay for camping. I don't get it. Did your ancestors not go through enough? But we'll get to that another day. Professionally, being approved of kind of means that you're part of this hierarchy that also guarantees your success. If you think about it, every business is a hierarchy pyramid. We have the boss at the top, the people who do the grunt work at the very bottom, and if you're lucky, you're somewhere in the middle where you have room to grow into a top tier hierarchy bitch, or you kind of stagnate, which is okay because it's a safe place to be. But either way, you need approval for you to be able to maintain that status quo. But approval addiction is also kind of the reason why we all stagnate. It's kind of the reason why we're all too scared to do anything. It's kind of the reason why we all take too long to leave that relationship, leave that job, to leave that family member, to do so many things that we want to in our hearts, because we have this idea that if we don't have other people's approval and what other people think of us might kill us, it might shoot us dead in the face, when in truth, it's not a thing. So that's why the phrase was coined, approval addiction. Now, it was actually coined by a psychiatrist, but in all the madness of Google, I can't actually find the name of this guy, but I do know it was mixed in and confused by Joyce Meyer. Now, if you know her, she is a super church owner, preacher lady, and she has a book called Approval Addiction, about approval addiction, and that's usually the thing that pops up most when you Google the whole concept of approval addiction. But in her book, it's pretty similar, where she talks about this idea of putting your values solely on what other people think of you to the point where it kind of puts you in a place where you never move forward, you never move backwards, you're just always in the same place and kind of crying to the abyss, why me? Woe is me. But in truth, it's because you've given into this concept that other people's opinion of you matters so damn much. Okay, so there's this concept that I came across when I was doing research for this episode, and it was an example that I thought was so powerful. Think of your most embarrassing moment. Think of that moment that keeps you up at 4 a.m., even though it happened 22 years ago. That thing that you're just like, oh my God, I should have said something different. I shouldn't have fallen. My pants ripped. Like, it was completely out of your control, but it happened. Now, I promise you, 90% of the people who witnessed this embarrassing moment don't remember. They don't care. 90%. I mean, I'm leaving that 10% room for that one jerk who, like, honors the anniversary of the worst moment in your life, because there will be those people, but 90% of people don't actually care. So what's keeping you from being your best self, from living that best self, especially after we kind of witnessed a pandemic in our lifetime? I mean, I'm kind of sick and tired of living through history, if I'm being honest. I want it to end. It can't just be every week a new history lesson is being planned for our future children, and I'm still here for it. I want to be able to just not. Thank you, but no thank you. I am done with big world events and local events and life just throwing one after another at us. But the pandemic showed us, and it kind of lent to a new great something. So there was the Great Depression, the great other things in history, but right now we're going through what has been dubbed by organizational psychologist Dr. Anthony Klotz as the Great Resignation. Now, there's no research on Africa because I assume they still think we're running around in loincloths, you know, that racism stuff. But there has been research in a lot of other parts in the world that kind of correlate to what's happening here as well. The Great Resignation pretty much is people leaving their jobs, their well-paying or, you know, well-intentioned jobs in droves. In 2021, Microsoft estimated that people working, 41% of people are likely or have already left their jobs within 2020, 2021, or even 2022. That's a stupid high number, which makes this Great Resignation a big deal. I mean, at this point, we're seeing a lot more job recruitment websites and job sites list a lot more jobs than people applying or looking for those jobs, which means during the pandemic, if you lost your job because of it, you kind of changed your career path completely. You realize this is not what you want to be doing. You realize this is not where you want to be, and you completely pivoted elsewhere. And so you're not looking for those jobs or applying for them, which is kind of leaving a blank in the market. While we have other people who just realize, no, no, thank you to capitalism. I don't know her, and trying to do it differently, even though we all kind of have to buy into it to survive. We're trying to shape it and remodel it to fit us. We've all kind of gotten to this place where we realize, I don't want to work to survive. I want work to work for me so that I can put it into my life, make it a part of my life, but not my life. Does that make sense? So I did an episode last week where I was talking about happiness. And in it, I had a little caveat where I talked about placing your happiness solely on what you do and your job. And it was an unspoken truth that a lot of us kind of stay in this shitty jobs, or, you know, kind of do things not because we love them and want to do them and are thirsting for them, but it's because we're worried about what other people think. We have this addiction to kind of be approved of, to be liked, to be thought highly, to people looking at us like you're doing something important. And so it keeps us in these places that we're not very happy with. And then I met a lot of people in just this 1 week who told me the complete opposite, who were just like, I could not see myself doing this for another day. The pandemic made me realize how fleeting life is, how easy it is to lose everything and everyone around you, and I had to start prioritizing different. And that's where I was talking to somebody who I'd worked with years ago on a project, and she reached out to me after listening to the first episode, and what she had to say was powerful. This is Nyandia.
When I think about what made me leave, it had been a thought that kind of lingered in my mind for a long time. I was unhappy doing what I was doing, and I could never get the courage or clarity to know what next. However, once COVID came around and we had our first lockdown, I remember having the first Zoom meeting from my living room and realizing that my work was now inside my house, and that could not be my reality because my house was where I always sought refuge when I was employed. And so that made it very easy to turn in my notice with all the uncertainty ahead of me, because that was a time when everybody felt that if you have a job, you should be grateful and blah, blah, blah. So yes, I put in my notice then. At the time, I didn't have a plan, but I knew that wasn't the plan for my life. And shortly after that, I had to make a decision to move back home, which was absolutely one of my low lows, because I think, not just think, I know that looking back, the idea of what are people going to say, this is not how it's supposed to be, people your age are like pay mortgages and school fees and all these things. And here you are moving back home in your 40s. And yeah, that has to be the lowest low. Looking back now with some perspective, it wasn't a real low. It was an ego problem. It was a mental hang-up problem. It wasn't a real low, because that's not the worst thing that can happen to you. But it turned out to be the best thing for me, because it allowed me the clarity to formulate what the next step for me would be, and has led me to my highest high so far, which has been creating my new baby. I started a creative venture. It's been an exciting time of creativity. I feel alive. I feel that it was the right thing to do. So even my low, looking back, wasn't an actual low. It was just that the hang up that we have thinking, you know, what are people going to say? And how did I get here? It's a very scary thing to not know what next at this age, but I'm glad I did it.
Yandy is actually doing really great things right now. She has actually created a company. She's the CEO of Moko Maya. It's a home decor company founded in May 2020. Moko Maya is focused on upcycling glass bottles into functional items for the home and garden, from glasses, flower vases, candle holders, hurricanes. And I can't say this because I'm not classy enough to do it, but just picture the things you put wine in and pretend I say it correctly. Cutoffs. Yeah, you can find her on Instagram at Moko Maya or on Facebook at Moko Maya Goods. So what does this mean? People are jumping into the deep end with no plan. People are willing to take the risk and not care what other people think. So what's keeping you from doing it? I'm not telling you to quit your job. I'm not telling you to leave your man. I'm not telling you to do the most. I'm telling you that thing that's been in the back of your head that you know you have to do for yourself, why not do it? Who the hell cares what other people think? Other people's opinions are none of your business. Honestly, people have opinions about everything. If you cared about what their opinions were on every single thing you had to deal with in your life, you would not move. So what's keeping you from doing it? Now, I told you earlier that psychologists were using this example of your most embarrassing moment doesn't really matter. And I had to put it to to practice. So here I go, exposing my stupidity. So years ago, I must have been 12, 13. We just moved to a different country, like my whole family. And because we're from Africa, you know, everyone thinks Africa is one country. My mom signed us on to this to this talent show, and she wanted us to do an African dance. And of course, because Kenya and South Africa are neighbors, okay, we decided to do a dance to Mkomboti, okay? And I had this dance down. I was like, I'm going to kill it out there. I'm going to get a record deal. They're not ready. Now, my mom made us all skirts, my sister and I, from lessos. Lessos are like traditional scarves in Kenya. I don't know what you call them elsewhere. Like, if you know what a lesso is, you just know. And in most African cultures, everyone has a version of a scarf that people fashion into like skirts. They carry babies in. I'm not going to give you a history lesson, but we had lesso skirts that my mom made for us. Now, she told us, hey, girls, just wear shorts underneath them just in case. You never know. But I was like, no, Beyonce who? This is my time to kill it. I'm going to be authentic. I don't need shorts. So we get on stage with my sister and we're killing it. Okay, I'm Mkomboti, just singing about alcohol to a bunch of 12-year-olds in a different language that we don't even understand. And she looks at me, my sister, from across the stage doing her little, like, we're on our knees, kind of doing the shoulder dance. You know it, the African dance. And she looks at me and she looks shocked. And I look down and I realize my lessons falling off, my skirt's falling off. And I'm in front of a school assembly. This is a talent show. This is not the dress rehearsal. And I'm I'm dying a little inside. So I run off stage. And I talk to my sister years later, and she doesn't even remember it like that. She just remembers, like, there was a little mishap, and I ran off stage and came back like nothing happened. I talked to a friend who was in the audience, and she was just like, oh, did that happen? I mean, there was other things that were happening that day I didn't notice. This is my most embarrassing moment. This is the reason why I look at Skims and Bikas, and I'm like, yeah, we needed this. Where were you when I was 12 to wear it under everything? But nobody cares. I was in a new school. in a new country where people thought I learned English at the airport. And I thought I had completely ruined my chances of ever finding friends after this, but nobody remembers it. Nobody cares. Now I know this is teenage angst Linda coming out to play, but it's just an example that approval addiction is a concept that you don't really have to subscribe to. It doesn't have to be your struggle. What other people think of you is none of your business. So what am I saying? Remind yourself three things. I am a worthy person whether or not I have the approval of others. Number two, I am a person who has free will and can determine the direction of my own actions without being driven by the demand for approval. And number three, I am a rational, self-determining person with inherent worth and dignity. You deserve to do what you need to do. Other people's opinion of you is none of your business. You've got bigger things to do, bigger stories to tell, bigger risks to take, bigger things to celebrate than what others think of you. You are worth more. Let's keep this conversation going on my Instagram, on all my social medias. You can find me at Linda Nyangweso. I'll try and spell it correctly this time. It's LyndaNyangweso. You can also email me if you have a story you want to tell, if you just want to talk to me, if you just want to just rant with me, I got you. Find me at imtryinglinda@gmail.com. That's imtryinglynda@gmail.com. And I'll see you next week. Look at me. Already procrastinating. I'm very good at that, but we'll talk about that another day. Find me here on Monday. Everywhere where you're listening to me and everywhere where you find podcasts, I will definitely be here with a brand new episode of I'm Trying, I Promise. Have a good one. Keep trying.